this is the gospel he's preaching them. He says, now I'm not telling you anything new. This is what I preached to you before, and this is the gospel, and this is what I'm preaching to you again, for all those who have trusted into him. So, what is the continuation of this baseline knowledge of Jesus Christ crucified? Okay, we look at our verse again that I just read. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. What is the continuation of the baseline? Okay, the baseline we build off of Christ crucified. And here it is. And this is the gospel. He said it. This is the gospel. If anybody ever wants to know what the gospel is, show them these two verses. This is the gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Okay, those are divine words. This is of first importance. Well, I want to talk about X, Y, and Z. That's good, but let's talk about what's first importance so we can get to X, Y, and Z. Because if we don't have what the first importance is, we can't get there. And we get swirling around in their confusion. We get embraced in their dysfunction. See, we are the ones who have the truth. We are the ones who know what's first important. So we pull that back to the first importance. And if they can't grasp that, they'll never solve these things. Amen? So he's telling us here, I would remind you, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, as we build off of this and you think about it and how he's laid this out for us, and this is personal. We need to incorporate this into us. This is just not something kind of theology we just kind of put up on the shelf. He's really speaking this to us. And he calls it of first importance. He says, what I also received. There's a key. Did you receive it? Now, just as my personal testimony, and it's just, to me, it's fascinating when I look back on it, because, and some of you know this, is that when I was raised as a kid and stuff, I never went to church. My parents didn't go to church. I didn't go to church. I couldn't figure out why other people went to church, and so I didn't go to church till I was 30, you know. It kind of stuck when I went, as you can tell. It didn't go till I was 30 years old. I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 25. But how I came to know the Lord, and I'll just make it real, real short, it just in a desperate situation, called out to God, and God answered the prayer, which I thought was strange, and I thought, well, if God can answer a prayer, I wonder who is God. And I was led to read the Bible, and I asked Linda, and she had one in a drawer someplace. She gave it to me. It didn't have any notes on it, and I just read it. So I read it. Now, that's strange. Okay, that is really, really strange. But because God answered the prayer, I was like, something happened here bigger than me, and I don't understand it. And I want to find out. If you cry out to God and he will answer your prayer, I want to know who he is. And so one thing led to another, so I got a Bible, and I read it. So I read it for the first time. The whole thing. Never been to church. Now, I should add also, I wasn't a student. I never was a student. You know, I look at you, y'all, you're poor children. They had so much pressure in school. I just want you to know, when I went to school, I had no pressure. No pressure. You know, I don't think I read a book in high school. I didn't read one book. Right there. And I said, why? My granddaughter, she reads all the time. And she says, you read this? No, I never read that. I still hadn't read it, you know. And she told me, said, oh, you read East of Eden. Now, I don't know if you know. I said, all right. Oh, my gosh. I said, you're reading this? That thing's that thick, you know. And I had two tries after it, and I thought, okay, I got to step up. And I emailed. I finished East of Eden. Way to go, Granddad. You know, anyway, so I read East of Eden, you know. But I wasn't a student. Now, the reason I bring that up, it's just the fact. No brag, just fact, okay? But you do survive if you don't read anything. But what was interesting about it, because I didn't go to church, and because I wasn't a student, and I didn't read a lot of stuff, didn't care about a lot of stuff, is when I read through the scripture, when I read through, that was my first introduction to the things of God. I didn't have an argument. I wasn't fighting it with anything. I was just looking. And I read it word for word for word. You know why? Because I knew God was in there. And if I skipped something, I'd afraid I'd miss it. So I just go through all the genealogies. I went through the whole sacrificial system. I went through all the Old Testament. You know, I'm just going through this and trying to, and you know, a lot of interesting stuff happening. And I got into the Gospels, so I had all the Old Testament history there. I went into the Gospels and thought about and saw all that Jesus did. I thought, wow, that is interesting. You know, I always thought, you know, everybody's celebrating somebody got crucified. And I thought, I don't want the joy of that is. You know, I mean, you don't have a fun church. That's not a fun church if you're joking about this guy got killed. You know, and I couldn't process this. And I'm not joking. I am not joking. And so as I read through the Gospels, and I had this picture of Christ. I think it's so fascinating. I read through the book of Acts and the spread of the church. Then I read through the book of Romans. I'm going through the book of Romans, which is a doctrinal theology of the Christian faith. It's a systematic theology. So I start through the book of Romans, and I get to chapter 3, and it says God, in the Bible I had, God gave Jesus as an expiation. You know, expiation. What in God's name is an expiation? You know, none of the guys I ever hung around ever used that word. Nobody ever said, hey, let's go have an expiation. You know, I mean, what is that? And so I thought, but this must be important because God gave Christ as an expiation. And I'd look at that, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and it has a great word in there. It says like propitiation. You know, propitiation. And propitiation is kind of like atonement. You know, what is it? You can't even get a definition out of the definition. You know, what are all these words describing? It makes sense. An expiation or propitiation is atonement. So I look these things up. They're really good words. They're really good words because expiation means you pay one's penalty and turn away the wrath of God. You know, a propitiation. Again, you pay one's penalty. You pay a penalty for somebody else, atonement. You cover over sin. I'm going, God gave Jesus to cover over sin. God gave Jesus to turn away God's wrath. God, I said, it's like Jesus gave Christ is my substitute. And I went just like this, and I'm going, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I passed from death to life, then became a Christian. Outside the church and not knowing any Christians. None. Just me. I was the only Christian I knew. You know, and I had a long way to go. You know, but God led me along after that, and I was able to get some discipleship later on and what have you. But the point of it is, and I want to share this with you too, because people get confused, and they're confused because they don't read the scripture. Okay, and I'm not being too flippant, but I want you to understand as you go through this, I didn't know nothing, hadn't read except the scriptures, and so I knew what the scripture said, and so I told Linda one day, and I said, you know, she's not a believer. She didn't know what's happening. I didn't know. I thought I just caught up. I thought everybody else was a believer. I thought I just caught up with everybody else. I didn't know. And so I told Linda, I asked Linda, I don't tell Linda anything. I asked Linda, okay, I asked Linda, I says, maybe you think we ought to go to church? And she'd been in and out of church. She said, yeah, that'd be fine. We'd go to church. And so I wonder where you go. And so I thought, well, you just drive around and look for a steeple. You know, just look for a steeple and go. So I went to this church, and I kind of understand what it is now, but I didn't know then. But this guy came, it was Easter Sunday. I just came to mind. It was Easter Sunday. So we came in. I guess that I thought that'd be a good day. We go to church. So walked into this church. And I don't know. I didn't even know what to do. So you sat down. This guy gets up and talks. And he is kind of a real pleasant fella. Real pleasant fella. So I'm sitting here and said, I'm gonna get the scoop now. I'm going to get the scoop. Nobody's told me nothing. All I have is what is in the scripture. And I'm going to get the scoop. And he got up there. And he said, I'll never forget, he goes, well, here we are, Easter Sunday, and a lot of people celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but don't get hung up on the resurrection. Don't get hung up on the resurrection. See, what you want to look at is that Christ was a good person. Look at what he did. The resurrection's not that big a deal. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, the book I read said it was. You know, and I think, why is he saying that? And so it confirmed what something I always believed, that Jesus wasn't in the church. God wasn't in the church. So I didn't think God was in the church. And that confirmed to me, he definitely wasn't. And I walked down there. Of course, we were new. You know, you always love to see new people coming. Hey, you know, we'll come over and see you. I says, we'd like to come to your house. I go, no. He said, well, give me your card. No. Give me your name. No. Nice to meet you. I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm not. No, I don't want you in my house. All right? I couldn't put it together. So we didn't go to church for 5 years. See? But what I did, I read the Bible 2 more times. So now when I look back on it, I'm just stunned that I read the Bible 3 times through and never went to church. Well, once. It was almost ruined my faith. Okay. But 3 times. But what it is, the point of it is like what I preach is what I received from reading the scripture. Now, praise Jesus. I got in a good church, good discipleship, which I needed, all right? Good Bible studies. Good. Praise Jesus for God's people that came around me, and I needed a lot of help. I needed a lot of help. But the fundamental is this. I got it this. God gave it to me, and that's what I stand. And what I received by reading the scripture, even if a preacher stood up there and told me not to, it wasn't important, I said, no, you're wrong. It is important. See, because I knew the baseline. Amen? You gotta know the baseline. If you know the baseline, you receive Christ, then you can grow. You can continue to grow. But you always come back to the baseline. Now, there's a lot of people in Christianity, if you've been around, there's a lot of different thoughts and beliefs about a lot of different stuff. And some of it, you know, may be right, some of it may be wrong, but they're all trying to find out the deeper things of God. But if they don't start out at the baseline, don't have anything to do with them. They have to have this baseline. Like this guy that said the resurrection wasn't that important, I wouldn't believe a thing he said about anything. You see what I'm saying? This is important. And then we can be assured. And by the way, I'll just carry this story out a little longer. I'm having fun with this. I hope you are. Man. But I went to a church, and I was really hesitant to go to this church, but someone told me, says, this is a good church. You ought to go and try it out. And I'm making a long story short. So I went and says, this church meets in the school. I thought, yeah, right. You know? At least the guy who didn't know anything, at least he had a steeple. Now you're going to some guy that meets in the church. In a school. So we went to school, walked in the school, and so he said, okay, here we go. And the guy gets up, and he opens the Bible, he turns to the verse, and he starts preaching out of the Bible. I mean, I tell you what, I could have been Holy Roller Pentecostal. I mean, I could have done backflips out of my chair. I said, my God, someone got up and he believed the same thing I believe. I couldn't believe it. Now, see, I had that much second church experience. And he started preaching through the Word of God. I was so excited. I mean, and I sat there and I said, I'll never leave this church. I'll never leave. That's what I said. And they were having sign-ups for the directory. I signed up. Next week, they had a directory. I was in the directory, all right? I was there, all right? And I never left that church until he sent me out to plant this one. So I've been to 2 churches, that one and this one, and 3, the one I didn't like. All right, but what I'm saying here, the whole point of it is, what did you receive? Angie, what did you receive? You receive Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. It's the gospel. Christ was buried and he was raised on the 3rd day in accordance with the scripture. That is the gospel. And when that guy said a resurrection doesn't matter, he didn't preach the gospel. He was apostate. This 2 verses he didn't know. You see what I'm saying? It is the baseline. And I didn't know anything but that. But it was enough to recognize error. You see, it was enough to recognize error. Christ died, was buried, was resurrected. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. And you know what I knew when I read those verses in Romans 3, 23, 24, 25? The things that I'm forgiven. That's all. I go, I'm forgiven. Passed from death to life. Do you know what I knew about theology? I'm forgiven. Do you know what I knew about the end times? I'm forgiven. Do you know what I knew about all the social issues in the world? I'm forgiven. That's all I knew. That's all you need to know. Then you build off of that. You just build, but you come back to that basis. So when you have a conversation, why would you go to all these other places? If you've got to come back to the basics and bring the people you're talking to back to the basics, or they'll never get there. It's a wasted conversation, theologically. If you're just shooting the breeze, having tea or having a beer, well, do whatever you want to. But if you want some truth, they got to bring everybody back to the basics. Amen? Who has the truth? We do. We do. And it's what we received, and we're sharing what we received. So here I have this next little chart, and I put it up there. But and this is good to remember because we let this, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed it. The world is going crazy. It is absolutely going insane. Up is down, and down is up. They are going insane, and they think it's okay. They're enlightened. All right? They're enlightened. All right? But you got to understand God, and how's God going to solve this mess? You think, God, what are you doing? How are you going to solve this mess? I got something to tell you. I know exactly how he's going to solve it. I'm absolutely positive of how God's going to solve it. He put you in the middle of it. What am I supposed to say? Christ crucified. That's what you're supposed to say. But I can't answer it. You're not supposed to. They can't answer it. They're all wrapped around the axle. They can't answer it. And what they're answering is wrong. And they're trying to convince us it's right. All right? And we know Christ is crucified. He died for our sin. We are forgiven. Well, what about this? Christ is crucified. You accept him. You are forgiven. And you live for eternity. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Don't know much, but I know that. And it gets me to heaven. And I live forever. You know? Scumped you. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? They're wrapped up in an intellectual fog that's of the devil that's destroying the people. So there it is. So here you are. Remember this. When you're drawn into any religious, moral, social, or intellectual argument, baseline knowledge, Christ crucified. First importance, Christ died for our sins. First importance, Christ was buried and raised on the third day. Paul said, this is the gospel I preach. That's it. This is the gospel. Why do we think up something else? We ought to preach. Everything comes off of this. Now, just kind of some little evidence on top of this, which is kind of, I just think is interesting, is the verses that follow, is that we have this information. We have the witness of the scriptures. Okay, you have the witness of the scriptures. And I am a testimony that if you read the scriptures, this is what you'll come up with. If you just read it for what it says, this is what you're going to come up with. The whole Bible is an unfolding revelation of the person of Christ. That is the purpose of the Bible, is to reveal Christ. Nothing else. All right? It's to reveal Christ. Everything works around to see how Christ is revealed and what he's done for us. So that's the baseline information. Now, so we have the testimony of the scriptures, but you know what? We have multiple of individual testimonies, multiple individual witnesses. And so, and they testify to these very same facts. And here they are at the, and Paul talks about these. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:5, and I put them the next slide to kind of summarize them for you. But Jesus appeared, okay? They killed him, and he appeared. And it says, Jesus appeared to Cephas, that's Peter. Then he appeared to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's his brother, half-brother. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, last of all, is one untimely born, he appeared to me. So Jesus appeared to these people. They were eyewitnesses to his resurrection. Appeared to Peter, 500 plus, James, all apostles, and then finally Paul himself. Now what's powerful about this, and I think, now this is what I think, what's powerful about this is these people didn't have any earthly advantage to grasp these facts. So these people who saw Jesus, there wasn't an advantage to follow him. Like you go, I'll follow this guy and he'll give me a promotion. I'll follow this guy and he'll give me $1 million. I'll follow this guy and I'll be a prince. No, I'm going to follow this guy and they're going to kill me. You know, there wasn't any earthly advantage for them to follow. See, the one they trusted in to establish his kingdom got killed. So they're going, man, this ain't working out. All of them, though, he got killed. The second thing, they were hiding in fear because their allegiance to Jesus made them religious and social outcast. They had no, like, this is not a good career move to follow this guy. You know, it's not good. And also, once they're identified, and this was true, if the history proved it out, that it actually happened. Once they're identified, they were to suffer persecution and death. Come on and follow me. You'll love it. You'll love it. You know, maybe if you hung around, but you had to get yourself killed. This is not. And they locked it. They said, it's not working. Then he appeared to them. And he appeared to them and changed everything. All of a sudden, they were the evangelists of the world. And they willingly took the persecution. They willingly went to their death. They willingly, because they saw the risen Christ. They saw the risen Christ. Now, Paul, here's the next, look at 1 Corinthians 15:9. Paul, he was one of the early church persecutors. Now, this is all in 1 Corinthians 15. This is one of the early church persecutors was the Apostle Paul. He persecuted Christians. And he said this in 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. That's what he said. I persecuted the church. But you know what happened to Paul? He persecuted the church. Then a few years later, Jesus appeared to him. And Paul, at the expense of losing his religious and social status, became one of Jesus' most zealous followers. What happened? He saw the resurrection Christ. Changed everything. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, he says he's the persecutor of Christ. He persecuted the church. And he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me changed everything. He saw the risen Lord. He saw the risen Lord. And then also, and I just want to add this in here, the evidence is evidence of Paul's testimony. This experience with Christ, changed his purpose and gave him power to accomplish his purpose. What happened to Paul? He saw the risen Christ, changed his purpose, and gave him power. Look at Colossians 1:29. Fascinating verse. This is still Paul talking, Colossians, towards the end of his life. For this I told, struggling with all his energy. I get tired. If you had his energy, you wouldn't get quite as tired. Because he's going to work through you. Struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works in me. I accomplish everything God wants me to be. One of the things we get so tired is we don't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We have our own plans. We have our own agenda. We have our own things we're doing. And he says, have at it. But when we do what he wants us to do, he gives us energy to carry out the things he wants us to do. Supernatural energy from Christ within us. And he moves us towards that direction. Now, with the death and resurrection of Christ comes our salvation acceptance by God. And with this salvation acceptance by God comes divine power to achieve all the things that God intended. You hear me? Comes divine power to achieve everything the early church achieved. That's what it says. And that's the reason he says Philippians 4:13. Here's Paul says. Did Paul write this to himself? He wrote it to the Philippian church. He writes it to us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things from working harder than everybody else. I can achieve all things by going to the best schools. I can achieve all things by knowing the best people. I can achieve all things by manipulating the situation to make it work out for me. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's doing everything in our life to get us focused on him so he can empower us to do the things he wants us to do. He is at work. He is at work. But you have to have the baseline. You have to go to the baseline. You don't take this verse and go, I'm going to do it. You go to the baseline. Christ crucified. Christ died for me. Christ was buried. Christ resurrected. I am forgiven. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? First importance. Now here, we'll wrap it up with this. The evidence continues today. The evidence continues today. We are the continuation of the scriptures. We are the continuation of the scriptures. We preach the same message Paul and the apostles preached. Same thing. Don't ever, I'm telling you this, there's a lot of good churches around, praise Jesus for them. They don't preach Christ crucified. Leave quickly. Don't let the door hit you in the back. It's a waste of time. Not only is it a waste of time, it is a destructive time that you sit in there. It is a destructive time that you open the doors for all the gates of the devil to come and dominate your life. You see what I'm saying? Christ crucified. Now build on it. There's a lot of, you know, we all have our different gifts. Build on it. Christ crucified. He paid the penalty for our sins. We are forgiven. And look at 1 Corinthians 15:11. This is to all of us. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, so you believe. And I'm going to bring it down to me. Whether it's them or whether it was me when I read it, and you showed it to me, and I received it, and you changed my life, so I preach. Someone shared with you the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you heard what they preached that was in the scriptures, right here, those two verses. So you received, and so you preach. That's it. That is the baseline. That is of first importance. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You don't have anything as it connects with the things of God. Amen? And look, it comes down. I just couldn't wait to get to this verse. I couldn't wait to this verse because this is the verse the Lord so speaks to me. If you come to this church, you hear it at least every Sunday. All right? And here it is. This is the summary of the first importance. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I just feel compelled, and just to even the smaller audience, maybe that's how I feel compelled. But it wasn't. If you let your right hand, this is you, okay, my right hand, this is mankind, this is me, this is you, and we put this iPad in there, and that's sin. There's sin. All right, my left hand right here, my left hand is Christ. Christ is pure, good, nothing on him. And here I am, Wallace, over here. Here you are with your sin. Sin, it's on you. So he who knew no sin, Lord Jesus, right? That's what the verse is. He who knew no sin, what? Me with my sin. He who knew no sin, became sin, that Wallace may be as righteous as God, that you may be as righteous as God. He became sin, that we might be as righteous as God. Therefore, that's the baseline. We are forgiven. We have a relationship with God. He empowers us to do everything he says. And the world tries to say, you're bad. You've done wrong. It's on Christ. It's on Christ. He knew no sin, but he became sin. But this happened. He became sin. What I like about that verse too, it doesn't even say he died for our sin. It said he became sin. My sin I had, he became that. Like a big sponge, he just sucked it up. And it leaves. And it's, oh my God. Oh my God, Lord. I worship you. Why? Because you became sin. I'm forgiven. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? See? Thumbnail sketch of the Christian life. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I want you. I loved you and I died for you. I want you. Just love me back. Just love me back. Amen? I think that's good. Why don't we stand and we can sing a few praise songs to Christ. You see, you know, I think this is so leads up. When we worship, you know, something, we can sing here and we can look, now I really love Adam and Joe, you know, but we could look at Adam and Joe and say, you know, I think Adam needs work on his guitar a little bit, you know. Or we can say, Joe, I think Joe's a little off key or something like that. But that's not why we're here. We're here to worship. Because Christ paid the penalty. We are forgiven. It's, oh, Lord, all I want to do is worship you. And you know, he's telling me to worship him. And you know he loves me if he wants me to worship him. Because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I'm actually paid not to sing. You know, and so I just do it alone with Jesus for your benefit, all right? But the whole thing is to worship him because of what he's done. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is the lead-in to Easter. Amen. Amen.